The rest of us will be in Luke chapter 10 as we listen to God's voice through His Word. If you would find your place in Luke chapter 10, when you find it, if you wouldn't mind to stand, we're just going to cover two verses this morning. Luke chapter number 10. God is real. God loves you. He's a person. He wants to speak to you. Here's how He does it, through His Word. And so right now, if you make a decision, I'm going to hear the Word of God, and I'm going to pay attention, I'm going to trust that God speaks to me, I'm confident He's going to do that. So have hearts that are open, ready to hear, as we begin Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place, whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. So the message, as you've seen this morning, is this: the field. We're talking about work in the field this year. The field is there. The field is big. The field can be overwhelming at times. If you think about all of those who need God, more than we can possibly reach right here in this room, it's overwhelming sometimes. Here's what we need. We need more workers, don't we? We need more workers in the field. Let's pray and we'll get into our message this morning. God, thank You for who You are. And God, we've enjoyed the time together that we can worship You and honor and adore You and lift Your name up and sing praises to You. And Lord, we've felt Your presence this morning. We're thankful. But God, we're just as excited now as we get to hear from You, that You would speak to our hearts through Your Word, that Holy Spirit would take control of what is said today and use it in the hearts of these Your people. If there's one here this morning that doesn't know You yet, doesn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them, doesn't have a relationship with You, has not had their sins forgiven, God, I pray that You would bring conviction and help them see their need this morning. You'd be honored in all we do. Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Well, many of you know this, but my family and the Valdez family are doing a garden behind our house, okay? Super fun. It's kind of a bigger size garden, about 30 feet by 60 feet, and it's a lot. It's a lot of fun. But it's also a lot. You know what I'm talking about? It's a lot of work. To plant a garden, if you've never done it, or if you have, you can identify with this. But here's what you have to do when you plant a garden. You got to plow the ground. And then you have to plant the seed. And then you have to weed and water. And weed and water. And weed and water. And weed some more and water some more. A lot. Okay? And then you pray that God gives a harvest, and that is at the end, you have as much out of this that you put into it, you know. That's how it goes. And it's really helped me over the last little bit to know what it means to work the field. And we've made that, you know, theme, and we've been talking about that before we decided to do the garden. But it was pretty fun. And we watched as one of my friends came and plowed the ground for us and tilled it. And there he is, plowing the ground. And we were out there and planted the seeds. And now we're in the throes of watering and weeding. Well, a lot of you also know this, that we've had some very crazy weather, haven't we, recently? Last few weeks, we had torrential downpour, and then a lot of sunshine. And then some more torrential downpour, and then some more sunshine. And that's really good for most of our plants, but it's really good for the plants we don't want, the weeds. And if you've ever had a garden before, then you know this: the plants you don't want always grow better than the plants you do want in the garden. And so just right before all this crazy rain, we spent, when I say we, I mean Miss Chelsea and Miss Lauren, spent almost every day for like a week and a half and made the garden just immaculate. Not a weed in sight. It was beautiful. We had our little sprouting plants there. We were like, gardening is fun. Gardening is easy. Well, in a week's time, it looked like we never pulled a weed in our whole life, okay, with all that torrential downpour. Then it was all muddy. We couldn't get out there. Then it was sunny. Go fast, hurry, but then more rain. And it was just like a jungle out there. It was insane. And so I went out there and I thought, this is crazy. We're never going to get these weeds out. Never. It's never going to happen. What's even the use? And so I looked out there, looked around, started to pull a weed, and I was getting all frustrated. Well, Miss Chelsea, Miss Lauren, they just got out there, and they just got to work. And they spent a few moments out there, and one row looked great, like fantastic. No weeds, the plants all looked happy. And then, but then you look at the rest of the thing, and it's still a jungle. But then they went back out there and got more done. And they went back out there and got more done. And before you knew it, the garden was looking good again. It was looking good again. So here's the point. When the task in the field looks overwhelming, you really got two options. You can just stand there all stunned and have a bad attitude, or you can just get out in the field and start working the field, bit by bit, piece by piece. The moments you're standing there stunned and frustrated are moments you're not doing anything productive, all right? But if you get out there and you work and you work and you work, eventually things start to get done in the field. And here's the point this morning. This isn't a gardening class. This is church, and this is the Word of God, and God has called all of us to work the field, hasn't he? He's called all of us to reach the lost. And so we need to get out in the field. We need workers in the field. Look at verse 1 of chapter 10. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70, I do that every time. The Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And so Jesus is looking at the field. Jesus sees all of those multitudes that don't know him. And in other passages, as he looked out and saw the multitudes, he had compassion. He saw the need. He knew there was more work to be done in his time and where he was in Israel than could be done by himself alone. And if you remember back in chapter 9, he multiplied his ministry, didn't he? He multiplied his ministry by 12, and he taught the 12 how to get out in the field. He taught the 12 how to minister. He taught the 12 how to, in their time, perform miracles and cast out demons so that they could preach the Word of God so that it would be validated. But here's what he did. He took what he was doing in Israel and he multiplied it by his 12 disciples. Like you remember when we were there a few months ago in chapter 9, the disciples went from believers. First they needed to become believers. Then they needed to become followers. Then they needed to become disciples. And then, at some point, they need to be the teachers, right? And they had to go from not just learning and watching Jesus do ministry, but at some point, they needed to begin doing ministry. And they did. And God sent them out, two by two, and they did what Jesus did. They healed people. They cast out demons. They preached the Word of God. And you might say, well, yeah, that makes sense because they're the apostles, right? They're the leadership. Of course, they would do that. They would get in the field. They would do the work of Christ. That's who they are. But we get to chapter 10. And in chapter 10, Jesus is sending out 70 more disciples. We read it there in verse 1. And these 70 are not apostles. These 70 are not the ones who are going to be trusted to write the Word of God later. These are disciples. I would say just disciples. They weren't just disciples, but they weren't apostles, right? And you're not just a Christian. You are called to work the field. And these are people who, here's the only thing that made these 70 special. They answered the call to follow Christ. Remember last week, he was calling people to follow him and everyone had excuses why they wouldn't. And maybe they corrected that. We don't know what their decision was, but Jesus made it clear what it took to follow him. These 70 are people who have surrendered to follow Christ with their lives. These are people who are willing to sacrifice their comfort to follow Christ if they needed to. These are people who were willing to disappoint their family if they needed to follow Christ. These are people who are willing to leave everything behind to follow Christ if they needed to. They've surrendered every part of their life to Jesus if he wanted it. And he did want it, didn't he? Because right here he calls them. And he calls them to follow him. They're willing to follow him no matter the cost. And those are the ones that Jesus chose to work his field and send out. And so he sent these 70. And he sent them before his face. And what they were going to do is go to these cities and towns. And they were going to work the field and prepare them to meet Jesus. There's actually no indication here that they would be able to lead anyone to the Lord, not necessarily. They were just going into those cities, and they were preparing those cities to meet Jesus, you see? So he's traveling, remember, he's traveling to Jerusalem, and on the way, he's going through all these cities. And these 70 would go in those cities and say, hey, Jesus is coming. And they would prepare the way for Jesus. They would work the field and get them prepared to meet Christ. And as you look at all those towns, there are more towns that can possibly be reached by even the 12. And so he sends the 70. And they answer the call. And they get in the field. And so as we see the daunting task of reaching the lost for Christ, as we see how many people need to hear from Jesus, the first thing we can do is just get in the field. We need to just get in the field. We need to answer the call. We need to say, Jesus, whatever you want from me, I'm looking at the world. I'm looking at the 4,000 plus people in Fall City. You say, Pastor, that's not a very big town. That's 4,000 people. Can you reach 4,000 people? I can't reach 4,000 people. That doesn't include Humboldt. That doesn't include Stella and Rulo and Schubert and Berida and all these towns. And then Hiawatha and Sabetha and Powhatan. How are you going to reach all those people? You're not going to reach all of those people. Here's what you can do. You can say, Jesus, whatever you want with my life, that's what I'll do. And you surrender to Him. Every aspect. You don't have to give up everything in your life, but you need to be willing. You need to be willing to give up what He asks you to give up and to follow Him where He asks you to follow Him. So the first thing we can do is get in the field. Stop being paralyzed by it. You look at all your friends and family, you say, I'll never be able to reach them. Just follow Christ. Just get in the field. Do something. Do something. The second thing we can do is this. Just pray. Just pray. Before Jesus sent the 70 into the field, He gave them some instructions. Look in verse 2. Therefore He said unto them, unto who? Unto the 70. Listen, unto the 70 who answered the call, unto the 70 who are willing to get in the field, who are doing the work of Christ, He tells them this. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. And next week we're going to look. He continues to give more instructions to them. But really, He started off by saying this. You're going to need more laborers, right? I've sent in the 12. That wasn't enough. I'm sending you 70. But you need to know this from the beginning. You need more. You're not enough. And so what do you need to do? You need to pray. First, you need to get in the field. Because it doesn't really make any sense for us to stand outside of the field and say, man, look at the need. Somebody's got to get out there. Well, maybe you should get out there first. Right? It's like whenever you walk into the church, like, man, what's with all the trash on the ground? Somebody should pick up all that trash. Well, maybe you should do it, you know? And so as you see the need, you need to get in the field. But you have to know this. As you get in the field, you have to know this. You're not enough to do it. And so you follow Christ and do what He's called you to do. And what we need to do is pray for more. When He talked about the Lord of the harvest and the harvest being great, that would have been a very common situation for them. They lived in agricultural culture, kind of like we do, but even more so there in first century Israel. All of them understood this for the most part. And so here's what they would have known. All year, a farmer and his workers, they would do this. They'd plow the ground, they'd plant the seed, they'd water the ground, they'd weed the ground, they'd water the ground, they'd weed the ground, over and over and over. And that, you know, that's a lot of work, but the farmers and their workers could handle that. They could handle the plowing. They could handle the planting. They could handle the cultivation of the ground. But then harvest would come. And when harvest comes, you have a very limited amount of time to pick the harvest, right? You can't leave it on there forever. And so oftentimes you would only have weeks, you know, to do this, maybe sometimes days. To harvest before all of that stuff goes away. I'm thinking about my cherry tree in my backyard. And I'm looking at those cherries. I'm like, oh, I'm so excited for cherries. I love cherries. And they're little tiny green cherries. They get bigger. Oh, they're like kind of yellow. Don't eat them yet. But they start getting kind of red. And so you kind of pick them like, that's good, but not quite. And I'm waiting. And then when they're ready, I've got like 8 hours before the squirrels and the birds ruin everything. But that's kind of how it is with all harvests. There's a limited amount of time to pick that before it either rots or goes bad or something else happens to it. So here's the point. At harvest time, time is of the essence, isn't it? Time's of the essence. If they didn't pick the harvest fast enough, the harvest would rot on the plant. And so here's the point. The normal workforce in the farm is not enough for harvest time. What did they have to do? They would have to pray for the Lord of the harvest. They really had two choices. They could work 24/7 during the harvest. That harvest team, that farm team, they could just work 24/7, ignore their families, barely stop to eat, wear themselves to the bone, and still potentially not be able to harvest the whole thing. But what they normally would do is they would go to the one who owns the field, the Lord of the harvest. Please, send more people, right? And people would know that. There was a system. They knew when harvest was. People were ready for that. And so whenever harvest time came, the field workers were doing the same amount of work. They weren't wearing themselves out because they would hire others to come in. Are you seeing this? And Jesus, here's what he's saying. Jesus is sending these 70 as new workers, but they wouldn't be enough. Jesus is not here. Can I just say this? Jesus is not saying here, everyone's ready to be saved. The field's white. Everyone's ready. Just go out there and give them the gospel once. They'll get saved. That is not what he's saying. He's saying this. Time is of the essence. There's only a certain amount of time that we can harvest the lost in that sense before we can tell them the gospel, because there's coming a time when we can no longer give them the gospel. And so we need to get out there, and everyone needs to hear the gospel. If they don't hear the gospel, there is no chance of salvation. If they don't hear the gospel, they will die. Listen to me close. They will die and spend eternity in torment. There's a limited time. You're not enough. You need to go do what you can. You need to go do what you're called to do. But you're going to have to pray for more. You're going to have to pray for more. Yeah. The field is bigger than we can imagine, isn't it? If you just take a moment to think about it, you can really stress yourself out really fast. Just think about how many lost people there are out there. There are over 8 billion people in this world. And if they don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no chance of escaping hell forever. There's no chance of relationship with God. They will be in what Jesus called eternal torment, everlasting torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's what our world is facing. And without the gospel, they have no chance. You can stretch yourself out. Jesus is their only hope. Yeah. You can become overwhelmed. So what do we do? Well, we have a few options. We can give every breath of our life to preaching the gospel. I mean, if you think about it hard enough and you get yourself stressed out hard enough, you're eating a roast. That took way too long. I should just be eating like almonds or something, because why did I spend that much time cooking? I should be telling people about the gospel, and I should just have trail mix with me at all times, and I should be always preaching the gospel. There is nothing more important than getting the gospel to this world. You can get yourself all worked up, can't you? And you can get yourself worked into a frenzy, and you can work 24/7 trying to reach the lost. You can quit your job. You can sell your house. You can go wherever you can, preaching the gospel, and just pray that God would take care of you. You can do that. And sometimes we can get that mindset. And you would be right. That would be worth it, of course. But even, listen, here's what you need to understand. Even if you did that, you would never be able to reach the entire world by yourself. To share the gospel with each of them, listen to this. To share the gospel with each of the lost people in groups of 100 would take you 4,000 years. You're not doing it. That's not the plan. That's not sustainable. And even if we could live long enough to do all that, they wouldn't even all respond. We understand that, don't we? Not to mention the fact that, listen, there are other things that God has commanded us to do. We are called to take care of our families, aren't we? We are called to provide for our families. We are called to study and grow in the doctrines of the Word of God. Hey, sometimes people get so worked up about this, and they spend all their time talking to lost people, but they don't learn the rest of the Bible. That's a problem. There needs to be balance here, doesn't there? We are called to take a day of rest. Listen, we are not called to every minute of every hour of every day in the field until we fall over, dead, or burn out. That is not sustainable. That is not what God called us to do. But that is an option. Another option is we can just stand there stunned and discouraged, thinking there's just no hope. This is never going to happen. Just like me in the garden the other day. It's just never, why even try? Because I'm never going to finish. Paul Chappell said this in his book, Take It Personally. He talked about a story of a man who was walking near the ocean shoreline littered with starfish that had been put on the beach from a recent storm. As the man walked, he came upon a young boy frantically picking up the dying starfish and throwing them back into the ocean. He says, "Son," the man smiled as he placed his hand on the boy's shoulder, "you know what you're doing is futile, right?" The boy didn't respond. He hardly even looked up. He just reached for another starfish and hurled it into the ocean. The man tried again. "Look," he pointed along the shore. "There are miles of washed up starfish, tens of thousands of them." The boy just grunted as he reached for another starfish and threw it into the ocean. "You could be here all day and the next day and the day after that. You could be here all week and you wouldn't make a difference to all of these starfish." For the first time, the boy looked up to the man. He stood as tall as he could, with his shoulders back, chin tilted, starfish in hand. And he turned and threw the starfish into the ocean. And he looked at the man and said, "Made a difference for that one." And then he went and picked up another one. "Made a difference for that one. Made a difference for that one." That's what we can do. One by one, picking up a starfish, throwing into the ocean. And listen, we can try to carry the burden of the lost on our shoulders and run ourselves ragged and thin. We can become discouraged and distracted and never even get in the field, or we can do this. We can just get in the field and pray that more would get in the field. Get in the field and pray that more would get in the field. We need to be faithful. Listen, we need to be faithful to do the work that Jesus has called us to do and know where that line ends and then pray that he would send others who would answer that call. Here's the problem this morning. The problem isn't that we're not all working 24/7. The problem is there's a shortage in the field. That's the problem. We understand labor shortages, don't we? Nobody wants to work. Why don't they want to work? Well, they'd rather stay home and have fun. Right? Work requires work. And they don't want it. Work means less fun. Work requires sacrificing their own time. There's not enough in it for them, they say. They want more money than companies can give them, maybe. If they don't work, they know this, other people will take care of them. Maybe that's why they don't work. Maybe they're convinced nobody would hire them. Or maybe they're afraid of rejection, and so they just don't even apply, maybe. And here's the problem. When nobody wants to work, we don't get our cheeseburgers fast enough. And that's upsetting, all right? I know it. Amen. You want a cheeseburger, Brother Tim? Extra cheese. You hear that, Brother Mike? Brother Josh? Amen. Brother Tim loves cheese. We stand, when people don't want to work, we stand in line longer at gas stations and at the grocery store. We feel that, don't we? It's frustrating. It's downright wrong. I should be able to pick something up and go pay for it. Do you want my money or not, store? They do, but nobody wants to work, you see. And in a lot of ways, it's devastating to the economy. It's devastating to the community because people would rather stay home. They'd rather eat Cheetos and play video games, you see. Because work is, ready teenagers, boring sometimes. And that's okay. You know what's worse than that? There's a labor shortage in the field. You know what's worse than people don't want to work? People don't want to serve the Lord anymore. They don't want to serve the Lord. People aren't interested in reaching the lost. People aren't interested in being faithful to church. People aren't interested in serving in ministries. And when people don't want to serve the Lord, it's worse than waiting 5 more minutes for a double quarter pound of a cheese. Even worse than that. I know, but it is. Listen, people are dying and going to hell forever without hearing the gospel. Jesus is receiving less glory in churches. Jesus deserves that this place be packed out. I'm not interested in that. I don't really need the recognition, but God deserves glory from all people. Church buildings are becoming more and more empty. Choir lofts are looking more and more thin. Less and less children are being picked up on bus routes and learning about God. Less and less people are surrendering to preach. More and more churches are going without pastors. The light is growing more and more dim, and the world is losing more and more light and hope. The salt of the earth is losing more and more of its savor, and it's devastating more than the U.S. economy. It's devastating the kingdom of God. Because people don't want to serve the Lord. Why do people not want to serve the Lord? Why do people not want to get in the field? Well, it's not comfortable to follow Christ, is it? It's not comfortable to work the field. It requires work. It requires that you give up some of your fun things that you do for yourself. It requires that you sacrifice some of your time and resources. It really requires you are willing to give up anything, he asks. People don't want to do that. Many people don't see the benefit that is in it for themselves. Some people actually say that. Most people think that. What's in it for me if I serve God? What's in it for me if I go to church? What's in it for me if I come on a Saturday visitation? What's in it for me if I hand out a tract? What do I get out of it? It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me even maybe my money. And I don't get anything out of it, they say. And they know this. There's not a lot of money to be had in reaching lost people, okay? If you want to be a millionaire, don't go to the ministry. Unless you're willing to be a con artist, then you could. Hey, you might not have a lot of treasures on earth, but you will have piles of treasure in heaven. But I want to say this morning, if you got nothing out of it, God deserves it. Sometimes Christians just don't see the need. Why? Because they're already saved. They're going to heaven. So what else is there to worry about? But there are people in your life that if you don't tell them about Christ, they may never have a chance to be saved. That should bother you. Sometimes Christians convince themselves, no one will listen anyway. What's the point? I'm not going to make a difference anyways. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know this for sure. If you don't say anything, you're not going to get any fruit. If you don't plant any seed, nothing sprouts, you see. Sometimes Christians are too afraid of rejection. So they're nervous to say something. You're not alone. A lot of people feel that. Those who have been inviting people for years and years feel that. Right, Brother Tim? We talk about it all the time. Like, man, I really didn't want to say something to that person, but I did it. And sometimes to our shame, we say, I really should have, but I didn't. Because we're sometimes afraid of rejection. And you don't have to go bash them over the head with the gospel. But listen, at some point, your friends and family and your coworkers, they need to hear the gospel. How shall they call upon him who they have not heard? And sometimes people don't get in the field because they just really don't know how. I just don't know how. And you might be there this morning. You might, Pastor, I do. I want to reach people. I just don't know how. You need to come to Sunday school. Because Sunday school is what we're going to teach you. We're going to teach you. If you want to know how to reach people, you have to be here at Sunday school. That's not a good excuse anymore. We are going to give you all the tools you need for the field. You got to come. But that takes sacrifice to come before. Come at 9:30? I just woke up. I hope that's not the case. 9:30, Sunday school. We'll teach you. But here's the point this morning. Every Christian is called to work the field. And when you think about that, that's a privilege. Not every Christian is called to be a pastor. Not every Christian is called to be a foreign missionary. Not every Christian is called to go to others with the gospel, to personally deliver that life-saving to another town or city or something like that. But every Christian is called to bring the gospel to those in their life. Every Christian is called to reach those in their life. reach your family, reach your coworkers, reach your friends. You are called to work the field. You are. We need to take that call personally, don't we? And take it to one person at a time. I would encourage you to have 5 people on your list all the time that you're trying to get the gospel to. Now, you might not be able to do it. It might be really awkward. They might be really mad at you if you did it. That's okay. Again, we're not out there to bash people over the head with the gospel. But what we need to do then is soften the ground, don't we? We need to develop a relationship with that person for the express purpose of one day being able to plant the seed. And someone, you told them the gospel, they've heard it, they're just kind of confused. Well, you need to be there to water and weed that seed. You need to have 5 people. If you don't have 5 people you are actively working the field with, you need to work on that. Pray about that. What 5 people are you trying to reach for Christ? But here's the thing. We can look up and down the shoreline and see hundreds and thousands of starfish. We can look around the world and see billions of people. We can look at our own community and see a vast number of people. And we can wonder if we'll ever make a difference. But you just need to work on this. Make a difference in that one starfish. That one. And then go to another starfish. We can hear Christ's call, rely on the Holy Spirit, and personally share the gospel. And we can make a difference one soul at a time. And then we can pray that other people would do the same. Hey, you're not called to work the field on your own. It's not possible no matter how hard you try. And if you try to do it on your own, you'll only burn out and you will lose effectiveness. Hey, if you just do this 24/7 and stress yourself out, there's going to come a time where you'll be less effective in the field. That is not the plan. But if we all do our part, many hands make light work, doesn't it? We all seem to do what Christ has called us to do, and we need to pray for more laborers. And what's interesting about the field, here's what's interesting about the field. The fruit become laborers. Yep. The fruit become laborers. It's like whenever you invest money in an IRA, you get growth, and then that growth grows, and then that growth grows, and it doesn't take very long until you got $1 million in there. That's how it works. One at a time. You have to think long term. And as we reach that one with the gospel, here's what we do. We teach that one to reach one. We reach one, and then we teach that one to reach one. And if you do that, and then he reaches one, and he teaches that one, while you reach another one, and teach that one, how are we doing? And then they both reach one, and they both teach one, while you're reaching another one and teaching that one, all of a sudden work's getting done in the field. Here's how it starts. Get in the field. Get in the field. If you're on the sidelines, get off the sidelines. The call, the need is too great. The souls are eternal. They will die one day. So far, everyone has. And when they do, they will face their eternity. And we have opportunity to affect that by getting in the field. Getting in the field. Come to Sunday school, be trained, and then get in the field yourself. And if you're in the field, you're working hard, don't get stressed out, don't take more on than you should, do what God's called you to do, and then pray for more workers in the field. That's the plan. We need more workers. If you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never had a desire to reach people because you've never been reached yourself, and you're here this morning and you think, man, I need to be saved. I need my sins forgiven. Now's the time. Don't wait. You never know when eternity is going to come. It could happen right now. The rapture could happen before I finish this sentence. Don't wait. If you know, you come down and we'll show you from the Word of God how you can be saved. But if you are saved, here's what you are. Field worker. Get in the field. Get in the field. And pray for you. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to reach the lost. Thank you for these in this room. As we see faces in this room, we see the fruit of somebody's labor. Somebody reached these people. Somebody gave them the gospel. Somebody planted the seed and developed relationship with them and helped them understand the gospel and brought them to church. And And God, we're so thankful for who those people are. Help us to be like that. Help us to have a heart to reach the lost. Help us to understand their need. And help us to do what we can in the field and pray that others would do the same. We pray for one here tonight, that this morning, that might not be saved, that you would work in their heart. Help them to see their need as well this morning. We love you. Christ, my prayer. Amen. Let's all stand together. The piano is already playing. If God's working your heart, now's the time to respond.